present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in Reading, the Berkshire town associated with many great names from past and present. Visitors may wish to take in the memorial to John Blagrave, the eminent 19th century mathematician and father of algebra, although after being ribbed at school, little algebra later changed his name. On the advice of his aunt, Mrs. Emily Quadratic Equation. World fame was brought to Reading by Joseph Huntley of Huntley and Palmer fame, the philanthropist who provided a row of terraced houses for the poor. Sadly, the official grand opening, the ones at each end, were found to have developed cracks and quickly crumbled. Probably Reading's most famous temporary resident was Oscar Wilde, who in that less enlightened Victorian time served 2 years hard labour in prison here for what the town's guide describes as a social indiscretion. According to Lord Alfred Douglas, Oscar was as indiscreet as a nine-bob note. Clive Sinclair, who invented the C5, was born here. Commercial success invaded his novel electric scooter, as its range was limited to no more than a few hundred yards, or slightly more if you bought the optional extension lead. As we can see, Reading is a veritable A to Z of famous names. But what of the ordinary people whose mundane, everyday lives are so rarely exposed to public gaze? Let's meet the team. They are, on my left, Graham Garden and Barry Cryer. And on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Tim Brooke Taylor. And getting comfortable on my left hand, please welcome our scorer, the delightful Samantha. Let's kick off with a brand new game called New Definitions. Many of the words we use today have a meaning which is quite different from the original. For example, the term terrific, as in the sentence, this game is a terrific one, clearly means really good. But it used to mean instilling terror, and it still can, given a subtle change of context. For example, if I say this game is a terrific waste of my and everybody else's bloody time, and always will be, the original meaning becomes all too apparent. So let's hear a selection of words with new meanings that the teams have spotted for us. Jeremy, will you start, please?
Dictator means a humorously shaped root vegetable.
Colonnade, a fizzy enema.
Graham.
Gurgle. To steal a ventriloquist's dummy.
Snuff box, coffin.
Toronto, expression used by the Lone Ranger when drunkenly addressing his colleague. Hydrangea, warning by the Lone Ranger's colleague.
Circumspect, the point of view of a rabbi.
Humpty Dumpty, one who is humped and dumped.
Intercontinental, a person who's wet themselves all over the world.
Sub judice, the Israeli underground system.
Importune, singing like me.
Beaver Brook, a nude bathing area.
Rapscallion, a funky spring onion.
Ha ha.
Disconsulate, a particular embassy.
Hiding, a bell you can't reach.
Limp, verb, to walk with a lisp.
Transistor, a brother who wears his mother's clothes. Antelope, to run off with your mother's sister.
Well, it's time now for a musical diversion with pick-up song, in which the team sing along with a selection of discs. As is traditional on these occasions, Samantha went along to the gramophone library earlier to collect the team's records. It's pitch black down there, so Samantha and the elderly archivist have taken to searching the shelves by candlelight, which can be messy. So while Samantha passes down the discs, the nice man holds the ladder while he cleans the dust and whacks off in the dark. Samantha is now poised over the turntable and ready to give the team's discs a spin until, at my signal, she turns the volume down. You should continue to sing, teams, and if when the music returns you're within a gnat's nadger of the original, I'll be awarding points. And points mean prizes. What do points mean?
Prizes!
Wrong. You didn't let me finish the question. I've got here, what do points mean in Swahili? Let's try it again. Oh, I could rule the world if I played my cards right, couldn't I? This week's prize will thrill the parrot lover who wants to raise cash for charity. It's the chance to do a sponsored parakeet jump. Barry, will you start this? And I'd like you to accompany Otis Redding singing Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Otis, you're in Redding.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
Otis, you've gone.
Watching the ships roll in, then I'll watch them roll away again.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay,
nurse,
wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. Oh!
Tim, now, would you please accompany Joni Mitchell singing Big Yellow Taxi?
With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spa. Don't it always seem to go, but you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid for us and put up a parking lot. They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people $1.50 just to see them. Don't it always seem to go, but you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise and put up a parking lot.
You now, Graham, would you please accompany Roger Miller singing King of the Road?
Trailer for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents,
no phone, no pool, no pets, ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom-bars, 8 by 12 four-bit room. I'm a man of means by no means, a king of the road. Third boxcar, midnight train, destination Bangor, Maine. Old worn out shooting shoes, I don't pay no union dues. So
we're waiting.
Finally, Jeremy, would you please accompany Ricky Mountain singing Living La Vida Loca?
Superstition, black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition, that girl's gonna make me fall. She's into new sensation, new kicks and candlelight. She's got a new addiction for every day and night. She'll make you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain. She'll make you live the crazy life, and she'll take away your pain like a bullet to your brain. Outside, inside out, she's living la vida loca. She'll push and pull you down, she's living la vida loca. Her lips are there, the skin's a color of mocha. Gee, where you are? She's living la vida loca.
Coincidence is a wonderful thing. We move on to our next game now, Sound Charades. It's based on the TV show Give Us a Clue, where the team score points by miming film titles against the clock. And who can forget that breathtaking finish when Lionel Blair came from behind and had Dirty Harry licked in under 2 minutes? In the original version, the teams weren't allowed to speak. Happy days. Well, in ours, they do speak. Tim and Jeremy, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And here's a mystery voice for listeners at home.
Don't look now. Don't look now.
Three words, and it's a film, and it goes like this.
Oh, here she is, look. Oh, what's she like?
Oh, can I have a...
No, you can't have a butcher's, no.
Oh, please, at this moment I want...
No, at this moment you must keep your face...
Oh, I want...
What's she like? She's no better than she ought to be.
I want to see.
You can't. What is it? Staring straight ahead.
Oh, I need to put my eyes in that direction at this very moment.
No, you must direct your gaze away.
Oh,
look at her, red duffel coat and no knickers.
Is it Carry On Camping?
Yeah. In a way, yes.
No.
Don't look. Keep your eyes away.
You're teasing us.
Don't look now.
Yeah. Don't look. Yeah.
Okay, your turn, Marion Graham. Your title's now being exhibited on the laser display board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
Four words.
TV.
Starting now.
Oh, I say, what a magnificent selection of finger foods they've laid out here.
TV, four words.
Magnificent selection of finger foods. Can I possibly tempt you to some of this cheese and garlic dip?
I think not.
Oh. How about some of these garlic and chive crisps?
No!
No, cocktail sausage, then, in garlic sauce.
Never!
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, well, here's something you can have. There's half a grapefruit here, stuffed with cocktail sticks, and wouldn't you know it, impaled on them.
Ah!
There's a pineapple chunk and a bit of cheese. And a clove of garlic.
Oh, I must go now. I hear the children of the night calling.
Well, over there, look, there's a lovely bowl of fruit glistening in the sunshine.
Oh! Yeah. Could Buffy come into this? Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yay! Oh.
Or should we say buffet?
Buffet.
It's time now to play the game called Mornington Crescent. But first I noticed that in response to recent appeals, we've received a communication this week. It comes from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. She writes, "Dear Claims Direct." As a result of going short-sighted at work through no fault of my own, I have to wear perfectly ordinary spectacles. Then, within the last 3 years, I very nearly tripped on a small step ladder and now find I can no longer play football properly. Yours sincerely, Mrs. Trellis, team captain, Coventry City Football Club. Anyway, this week we'll be playing the old board game version of Mornington Crescent. I'm sure you'll have one of these tucked away in the games cupboard at home. It's a pale imitation of the real thing, of course, as it's dictated by the roll of the dice rather than any proper strategy, but it might be instructive for new players to hear if they're still unfamiliar with the rules. Tim, will you start, please?
Yeah, I'll be the mobile phone. Right. Hatton Cross.
Oh. Bad start. Oh, I can't. Yeah. Well, I come out, can I?
Seven the hard way.
Community chest. Go back to old Kent Road.
You just put it there. We don't have to go.
I know, but I like the listeners to know what's going on.
All right.
We've got a house on that.
Right.
Yeah. That'll be ninepence.
Heading your way.
Right, here we go.
Oh, well done.
Going downstairs now. Coming back upstairs.
That's uncanny.
Oh, collect £200. Barry?
Don't look at me. Got anything, Grant?
No.
Got any loose?
Nothing loose. Sorry about that, Jeremy. Sorry.
Sorry.
Can't help you there.
Oh.
So that could be a lady some hanks.
Oh!
One.
Amazing.
Trafalgar Square.
Oh,
it's all right. I've got a Starbucks on that.
Oh, six to double go. Oh, no. Go back three.
Someone at the door.
Oh, pick up a card. Go to Mornington Crescent.
Incidentally, I've been asked to make a minor correction about the new dust jacket of the Little Book of Mornington Crescent. Where it says now a motion picture, it should in fact read not a motion picture. Well, let's liven things up with some music now. The teams are going to take turns to sing a song, alternating one word each at a time in a round called Singing Relay. This shouldn't be confused with a similar game called Signing Relay, which we played just once. The team sang songs suggested by the audience, giving hand signals. It wasn't a success, and we never did discover what song was represented by 700 hands doing a knife-stabbing action. Piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell, who was telling us he spends an hour every day studying opera. When the show's finished, he switches over and watches Jerry Springer. Tim and Jeremy, I'd like you to begin by providing a version of the Frank and Nancy Sinatra hit, Something Stupid.
I know I stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me. And if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me. Then afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like, I love you.
Okay, your turn, Barry and Graham. Would you please provide a rendition of Non, je ne regrette rien?
Non, je ne regrette rien, ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien. C'est maquillé, balayé, oublié, je me fous du passé.
Well, it's almost time to say goodbye, but it's just time to squeeze in a round of complete jokes, in which I'll present the teams with the first part of some of my favourite old jokes and ask them to try to remember the punchlines. And we're going to start with you, Jeremy. What's the joke? Doctor, doctor, I keep thinking I'm a pair of curtains.
Well, try wearing this protective helmet.
Would you like to hear the real one? Oh, you know the real one, do you? What is it, then? Gentlemen over there.
I wouldn't tell the audience to pull themselves together. We might have an awful scene.
Graham. Graham, here's a joke for you to finish off. What do you get if you cross a jelly with a sheepdog?
Portuguese dogs of war.
Harry, here's one for you. Who gets the sack every time he goes to work?
Peter Mandelson.
Tim, I have 5 noses, 6 ears, and 7 Oh, it says 7 months. It means mouths.
Did you get the glasses? Your daughter brought the glasses on Wednesday. Didn't you see them? Oh, no, you wouldn't have.
Tim, I have 5 noses, 6 ears, and 7 mouths. What am I?
You're being ripped off by your plastic surgeon.
The answer is quite ugly.
I like that.
Jeremy, what's always coming but never arrives?
A rabbit on a virgin train.
And Graham, what's the difference between a night watchman and a butcher?
Oh, I know this one. One guards the premises and the other sells meat.
Boringly correct. Barry, another one for you now. What goes up and down but never moves?
A rabbit on a virgin train.
Tim, what do you call a wicked old lady who lives by the sea?
Anne Robinson on holiday.
Okay, here are some for anybody to have a go at. How do you catch squirrels?
You have a one-night stand with a hollow tree.
Yeah. What vegetable needs a plumber?
An artichoke with a blocked toilet. Yellow pages.
I wonder if the audience knows the answer to that. Three.
Now you tell me.
Why do elephants have big ears?
Because they've got a very small surface area to volume ratio. So therefore, to enable them to lose heat in hot climates, they have to have a large flat surface, unlike a mouse, which generally lives in a cold climate, therefore has a very large surface area to volume ratio, and therefore has very, very small ears. Yeah.
And finally, what goes
Sorry,
tick,
what
tick,
that
wood?
You just said?
Sorry. A large object has a very small surface area to volume ratio.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore, because the elephant is large, it can't lose heat effectively. It needs to have big ears.
It's like one of those dolls, you know, where you clap your hands and it starts singing. I've got two of those, the little guy with a black hat on who sings when you clap your hands. You know, you switch it on, clap your hands and he sings. And I got it in a... I got it in a
Matron! They're in. The glasses are in your locker, I told you.
He doesn't even know we're here, Barry.
No, I know. Your trumpet went very well at the auction. Mr. Kenny Ball got it.
He's growing a geranium in it.
I'm just going to pick up Samantha's score.
You've just torn up your pension book now. See what you've done.
Finally, what goes tick, tick, woof?
A dog marking homework.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the PC of time crashes on the superhighway of fate and the sergeant of doom takes his bent panda car away, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself, and the fine folk of Reading, it's goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Jeremy Hardy and Tim Brooke Taylor were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.